The following is a 1232 Studios production. It's your What's Up Raiders podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Gale Duane, and welcome to the What's Up Raider podcast. Today is October 6th, and we got our butts kicked on Sunday, yesterday, actually. So it seems like forever. The pain just lingers, and we're all in the same boat. So I'm going to talk frank with you guys today, and thank you for tuning into the podcast. And those of you that are seeing us on TikTok, X, and some of these other places, be sure to check in at the podcast where you get the deep dive, not just the superficial stuff, where I go deeper into the subject matter. So let's get started. First of all, we're going to go right into Geno Smith after we just briefly touch over the game. Guys, I know it was terrible. Raider Nation, 40-6. I've been a Raider fan 50 years, and I have never felt like this before. It reminds me of the Reggie McKenzie years when there was just no money to pay anybody, and we had to painfully watch those seasons when we were just terrible, and Reggie was picking defensive backs with life-threatening injuries or broken legs. So we're going back to that or worse. So it also makes me think about the Oakland Raider legends. And I say Oakland Raiders, I don't say LA, although the LA years were good. But I'm going way back, and I want to talk about, it's hard for me to think of a team, and this could be part of our problem. It's hard for me to think of our team, the Raiders, and the all-time greats, Upshaw Shell, Stabler, Cliff Branch, all the Mad Stork, all the great guys, Ben Davidson, but just the all-time greats, and then the feel how low we felt on Sunday. So let's not just keep talking about how bad it was. We all know how bad it was, but we're going to move on to the first part. So there are three parts today. We're going to talk about, was I wrong about Geno Smith? There's probably a good chance that I was wrong about Geno Smith, but we're going to talk about it. Number two, things coaching that I see. And three, today, the third segment, we're going to talk about going forward and what I would like to see the Raiders do. And hopefully you can concur. Maybe you don't. There was somebody that called me out today. I'm gonna find him and give him a shout out. And we'll find out here shortly. But let's, the What's Up Raider phone lines at 971-319-2976. Give me a call. Give me your opinion. We'll put you on air. We'll put you in the podcast. But that's where you're supposed to go if you want to get in the show, give your opinion, give your take. The best guys and gals will be put regularly on the show. So we're looking for a few of you awesome take givers, much like JT the Brick in his early days, that we can feature you on the show. So we're going to dive right into, was I wrong about Geno Smith? Those of you know that I posted a special report about Geno Smith, comparing Geno Smith to Jim Plunkett. It was Geno Smith versus Jim Plunkett. And my hopes were to compare and contrast, but also compare and give us some hope as to, hey, Raider Nation, just be patient. These two veterans, castaways, fresh start in the silver and black. One guy went to unparalleled heights. When you look at Jim Plunkett, here was a guy on the trash heap, and he wins two Super Bowls. Lovely. And we even see some similarities with Rich Gannon. Here was another guy that wasn't getting a fair shot in other places. And then he becomes a Raider, all pro, takes him to the Super Bowl. We end up losing, but quite a turnaround for his career. And I think my hopes were, by comparing Geno and Jim Plunkett, was number one, I'm going to support a guy because he's a Raider. That's the big deal. I'm first and foremost, I'm going to support a guy because he's a Raider. Number two, perhaps there's a bit of me that's rooting for the underdog. I find myself always cheering for the underdog in most cases, unless it's against my team. But I'll go for the underdog more times than not. And here's Geno Smith, and the Raiders sitting at 1-3 at the time. Definitely underdogs. So, you know, it's a natural fit. And I think lastly, looking through the world in rose-tinted glasses. And if you're not familiar with that statement, it means you're looking at things that are hazy and not quite the way the rest of the world sees them, but you're looking through biased vision. And as a Raider fan, I was just hoping, like, hey, we got Pete Carroll, we got John Spytek, we got Tom Brady, hey, we got all these guys. And they picked Geno Smith, said that was their dude, and let's give them benefit of the doubt. Well, it doesn't look so good right now. So let's get talking about it. I was wrong. I was dead wrong. And for those of you that called me out in the video where I tried to say, hey, Geno Smith could be the next Jim Plunkett, I'm just not seeing it. And I'm going to tell you why I'm not seeing it in a bit. But I'm just going to say a few very distinct things, very obvious things. I'm sure Geno Smith is a good dude. And I am reluctant to say someone sucks, say someone's terrible. They achieved a higher level of sports in my all-time favorite game than I achieved. I was a college quarterback. I played at a small school called Wayne State. Shout out to Wayne State Wildcats. Love you out there. I was a quarterback at Wayne State. I was productive. I was a dual threat, they call back then. I probably had a little bit of an unorthodox style, my own style. We won football games, and we turned around a program that was not successful, not historically that well in recent history, and we won some good football games. So I don't really like talking about myself too much. We'll get into that in the future, but I would not trade my experience playing college football for anything in the world. And I feel very fortunate to play college football, and I learned from some very great coaches. I feel honored to have the coaches that I have. Keith Simons, if you're out there, much ups to you. The guy taught me how to play football, how to be a football player, not just play football. So if that makes sense to you, but let's keep going. One thing Geno Smith is doing, he's making it very easy to be criticized. You want to root for the guy. He's plays for your team. And there he is time after time, throwing it to the guy in the other colored jersey. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I've had coaches my whole life who told me things like, hey, don't throw it out on a cover two zone. Don't throw late down the middle of the field. And then when you do that, you know, you get screamed at and you learn, like, don't do that again. And Geno Smith is throwing repeatedly to a guy who has a different colored jersey than him. It does not make any sense to me, especially when there's two or more different colored jerseys sandwiching a Raider. He still thinks he can get it in there. And it is mind-boggling to me that he just won't take second and 10. Because just throw it away. Guy's not open, throw it away. Okay? Run and get 2 yards. Run and get 6 yards, whatever. But don't force the ball. We have 9 reasons why you shouldn't force the ball. You leave the NFL in interceptions. You make it easy to be criticized. He's been in the league long enough that you know you don't. The guy's not open, you don't throw it, period. And he is routinely forcing the football to guys who are covered. I hope that makes sense to you guys. They're not open. They're not covered. However you want me to say it, stop throwing the football at these guys. And then the other thing he's doing is he's throwing the ball late. Late down the field, holding the ball, pockets collapsing around him, and he's going to throw a ball late down the field. There's a free safety play in center field. Boom. Interception, tip, deflected, whatever. And I noticed on these crossing routes, he's late. When they clear the linebackers, he's waiting till they get way out, almost to the sideline, till the ball gets there. Let's give the guy the ball when he breaks open and he can run with it. Don't give him the ball where he catches it and he's going to get, you know, submarined by the quarterback. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, Geno's done this, so it's frustrating and it's easy to criticize. So, Geno Smith, love you. Sure, you're a great guy. Let's have a IPA sometime, some If you're ever in the IE or SoCal, I'm with it. But I got to do my job, and it's all love. So let's keep going. Let's just keep going. It's the play is bad. The play that we're seeing all around is bad with the Raiders. We're seeing things as Raider fans. Let's be real. We haven't won a Super Bowl in a long time. Haven't been in 20 years plus. But we're seeing bad things. Special teams, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen it this bad before. But the play is bad. Forcing the ball, stare down the field, throwing to guys that are covered. And it's almost unbelievable to me that at this level we see these sorts of mistakes. We see these sorts of repeated infractions. I know that if I would have been doing these things over and over and over, I would have been on the pine. And I rode the pine until I deserved to get up. And I did very well because I started not only getting my playbook more, but I started listening and I started preparing better. Maybe that's what Gino needs to do. Maybe that's what the other coaches need to do. And we'll get into that. So, Gino, fix it, and let's move on. So, Raider Nation, fans of the What's Up Raiders podcast, we're going to do this one more time. We're going to give you the What's Up Raider phone line at 971-319-2976. And we're going to ask you to follow, like, and subscribe on YouTube, Instagram, X, TikTok. TikTok people, we love you, so keep it up. And we're going to move on. Let's do that. We're going to talk about coaching. And there are a lot of podcasts. There are a lot of Raider shows where they're talking about coaching. And they're beginning to critique what they see, maybe from Carroll and the rest of the coaches. Chip Kelly, it's just bad. But let me tell you what I've been seeing for a while. And I'm not seeing too many guys talk about this. They're talking more about personnel decisions, like whether it was JPJ. What's the problem with the Carroll and JPJ, and who gave the okay for Brock Bowers to play? And I was one of the first ones saying that, like, we should have just sat him and he'd be healthy now. Letting him play, and look what happened. We didn't have him available, and we have no word when he is going to be available. So we should have just sat his ass while we're getting our own butts kicked. Makes sense. It makes sense all day, every day. Maybe it makes too much sense, but let's keep going. Personnel issues. Jermaine Pratt. Nobody knows what's going on there, but people are critiquing it. I get it. We're also talking about, you know, the JPJ things. You know, he's competing for his position against Kappa. I'm gonna tell you right now, if we had one more JPJ on that team, no other fixes on the offense, it would be a different team. That's how good he is. That's his impact. And it's BS that he has to go through this stuff. These are professional players. Carroll and the coaching staff, they should be just as professional. And if it's some sort of axe to grind, they need to bury it and just move on, coach football, and win football games, period. But let me tell you what I'm seeing about coaching, what's really been getting under as a former coach. And I've always been taught this: you play just how you practice. You know, you look at a guy like Max Crosby, 110% every play in practice translates to the field. But when I see guys misaligned, looking confused, when I see Genty and the pulling guard running into each other, when I see Genty take the wrong side on a handoff, when I see Genty running into the quarterback who has to throw an out route, which he did complete, I question the polish at practice. Are the Raiders just doing practice where, oh, that's good enough, we'll fix it on game day? Again, I tell you, you play just how you practice. And then if you half-ass practice, you're going to see this kind of shit in the games. And I'm tired of it. Excuse me for just how excitable I've been over this loss. My coworkers heard it today, so at my day job. So I was a little bit hot under the collar today. But I'm seeing confusion, misalignments, guys having to be told to go out to alignment, or guys having to be, reassured that they're going to go in motion in which direction. I just see confusion. And number one, your quarterback should put all that stuff, zip it up. Quarterback is the boss on the field, on the offense. So if there's a guy who doesn't know what he's doing, the quarterback should help him. But the quarterback needs to bite his ass on the sideline and be like, and at practice, like, dude, we're out there to play. We're out there to win. This stuff is inexcusable. Okay. So I'm seeing everything else that all the other people are seeing when it comes to personnel decisions, but it's the polish on the field that I don't see. I see confusion, I see disarray, and I see people who are unsure of their assignments. And that boils down to practice and things not being reinforced and quality control. Perhaps we gave Carroll too much props with his tenure in the league, his trophies and plaques on the wall, but I hate to question if the game's gone by him. You know, like Gibbs and some of these other guys that come back, they just don't have it the second time. I hope not. And I don't really like to critique that way. Again, these are good people. They're on my favorite football team, your favorite football team, or you wouldn't be listening. I don't like to critique people who have achievements that high in an area where perhaps I'm just giving respect as my place as a football player and a coach. But running a podcast, I have to be honest, it stinks. And the play looks terrible. And the results speak for themselves. You play like you practice. Who's in charge of practice? The coaches. Okay, so let's move on. We're going to go to segment three right now. We're going to talk about what I don't want to see. What I don't want to see is I don't want to see a quarterback carousel. I don't want to see Geno Smith continue throwing interceptions like he's giving away candy either to little kids. But if it's going to be Kenny Pickett sooner or later, then it's going to be Kenny Pickett, and Geno is going to have to be benched. And Geno Smith, again, just stop throwing to people who are covered. That would help a lot. Just stop throwing the guys that are sandwiched between the color that's not the color of your jersey. I thought many, many years ago when I learned how to play sports, they gave you two color jerseys so you knew which teammates were yours. I question that with Geno, and it's so easy to say these things because it's over and over. But what else? I don't want to see the quarterback carousel. We're going to bench Geno. Let's give Kenny Pickett a shot to earn the job, and perhaps Geno Smith needs to sit on the pine and just air his head out a little bit. And what I mean by get that stress off, hold a clipboard, take some time, and look at the game from a different point of view until he's ready to get back out there. I don't question his God-given skills. I question the decisions he makes with the ball in his hand right now. I don't like talking about the draft in freaking October. Here we are talking about the Raiders need linemen. And I will tell you, if we had another JPJ, we'd be a different team. But when you're 1-4 and you thought you're going to be a 10-win team, when we might not be a 4-win team if we keep playing like this. We might be picking in the top five again. And here we are talking about the draft. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, we got two linemen that were drafted in the third round that everyone says is not ready. Okay, then why did we pick them? I mean, I know this is like overly simplified, but there are a lot of third rounders that are playing this year. And when we need linemen, we got two guys we drafted that don't even see the field. We're either mis-evaluating the guys we had, Meredith Parham and JPJ. And I'll even throw the mule in there. Or are we mis-scouting? Not properly scouting the guys that we picked. Because if we needed two linemen, then we should have got guys who could contribute, because the guys we have out there are struggling. And Meredith and Parham struggle against big three-tech guys who just bully them around. We need another JPJ. So I hate talking about the draft in October. Geno Smith is not giving Pete Carroll any other choice than to eventually bench him I think pinching your quarterback that you spend this $40 million a year on when you think it's a reloading year, not a rebuilding year, can undermine what the feeling in the locker room is when everybody feels like, hey, we got a decent team. We can go out and compete. Maybe we can compete for a wild card playoff spot. Well, when you're benching quarterbacks, you're surely not going to be playing for playoffs. You're surely not. So Geno Smith keeps playing like this, he's going to get benched, and really Pete Carroll's going to have his hands tied behind his back making that decision. So it's going to be an easy one if Geno keeps playing like he's playing. I also don't want to see a mutiny or a loss in the, losing the locker room by Pete Carroll. You know, these guys are grown men, and they see it. People like me, other fans, podcasters, Raider, TikTok pages, Facebook pages, we're all third-party participants. And we see obvious problems. Think about being in the locker room when you're part of these problems, when you're sitting back going, why didn't somebody block that guy on the punt? What's up with our special teams? What's up with our corners looking in the backfield on this level and getting burnt? You know, why are we running into each other when we have easy offensive assignments? Being in that pressure cooker, having that front row seat as a coach and a player, it's 100 times more magnified than what we see as fans. So when you got guys who are saying losing confidence in their own coaching staff, much like the team did last year, I hate to see that spiral out of control and we start hearing about trade rumors, whether it's Jacoby Myers, maybe it's Max Crosby, and to see us potentially have players who we all love who are unhappy, who request trades, or we even see rumors on the internet. We don't want to see those kinds of things. So it's just crazy. And then the next thing I don't want to see a complete wholesale rebuild. And here's why. We're terrible, and we're playing terrible. But if we were able to draft, and I said I hate talking about the draft in October, but this is why we're talking about it now, when we're talking about a rebuild versus a reload. One more offensive lineman like JPJ, and if we could draft the best three technique defensive lineman early in the draft, first round, second round, whatever our spot is, and then invest in offensive linemen, we need to do that and become more of maybe a little bit more run-heavy team, maybe winning, stop trying to have shootouts with Geno Smith or even Kenny Pickett. Maybe we're running a more 60-40% ratio with Ashton Jeanty. And let's be real, Ashton Jeanty's skill is the real deal. We just don't have the line to show it off. You know, we don't have the line that this guy is running for 125 yards a week because he could. This guy should break a long run every game, but he's getting his butt kicked in the backfield before he can get, you know, even get the ball sometimes. So if we had a better line and a Robin to Max Crosby's Batman, we'd be a different team altogether. So that's part of it. I think we're a little cute offensively. I think we know how to butter our bread, and our offense is going to run through Ashton Jeanty, and we need to see more Marshall Faulk type plays with him. We did see him getting the ball more on the outside, but we're also starting to see him get receptions or pass routes downfield, which for some reason we didn't do the first four games. So it doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm at a loss for words about what to do and what to see. I'm going to support the Raiders. There's no question about that. But we all know that spending 3 hours on a Sunday, losing a day, it just hurts. So Raider Nation, I'm right there with you. Let's support this team. Let's hope that Pete Carroll can get these guys going. And another thing, last thing I don't want to see is I don't want this to go un. Pete Carroll and the rest of the staff, when I say untouched. And what I mean by that is Pete Carroll, today they're off, the players are off. Tomorrow is their official day off. But in reality, you know, we hear about players meetings and, you know, they air it out and they get real with each other and they talk frankly and it's not always a happy time, but they get it out. I'm going to be honest with you. Pete Carroll needs to get with those coaches and get them in a room and be like, we stink. We stink. And I'm not doing this right. Chip, you're not doing this right. Special teams coach, you're not doing this right. How do we fix it? And it needs to come from a position of leadership and not 100% criticizing, because right now there's really nothing good. I hope the Raiders and Pete Carroll can figure this out. And that's going to be it for today. Hit me up on the Raiders. What's up, Raider? What's up, Raiders phone line, 971-319-2976. And this is Gale DeWayne out. And we'll talk to you next time. Have a good night, Raider Nation. Bye.
Raider Nation, be sure to give us a like and subscribe as this helps us to create more Las Vegas Raiders content. Follow us on all of our socials, including Instagram, X, TikTok, Reddit, Facebook, and YouTube. You can even call and leave a message or text us at 971-319-2976.